Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas Vezos HaBracha. So the Parsha begins with Vezos HaBracha, and then Pasuk Beis, Hashem Misinai Bei Hashem came from Sinai. Vezarach Miseir Lamo, Hofia Mehar Paran. So Hashem was shined from Seir and appeared from Paran, and he came from Sinai. So what does that mean? It's talking about when Hashem gave the Jews the Torah. So Hashem came from Sinai, so to speak. But the Chizkuni says that the Tchilas Richas HaBracha, the beginning of the shine of the lightning and all that that happened in Har Sinai, you could see it coming from the east. And the same, because Har Paran and Seir are both to the east of Har Sinai. And why was that? Why from the east? Because it was the Chvod and Shal Yisrael, the Chizkuni says, because the Jews in general were traveling from west to east, generally speaking. From Mitzrayim, and then they went all the way to the east side. So Hashem came from the east as if to greet them. Then we have next pasuk, Avchavei Vavim. So it says, Heim Tukulu Raglecha. So Hashem loved the Bnei Yisrael, and Heim Tukulu Raglecha means that the Jews put themselves by Hashem's feet. What does that mean? So Rashi says it means that they put themselves at Har Sinai. Okay. Chizkuni brings a davaracha that means the Beis HaMikdash, which is the footstool of Hashem. So that's where you'll find Klai Yisrael. They stick themselves at Hashem's feet. That means we're in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where Klai Yisrael finds themselves. That's Heim Tuku L'Raglecha. Then we have by Ruvain, it says in Pasuk Vav, Yechi Ruvain Val Yamos V'hi Misav Mispar. What does Misav Mispar mean? So Rashi says that he'll be counted in Klal Yisrael, amongst the other Shvatim. But the Chizkuni says it means that he'll go to war and everyone's going to come back. Lo nifkan v'enu ish, that there'll be no one, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, no one's going to be lost. Now we have something fascinating. The Pasuk, Vezos Yehuda. It says, Vezos Yehuda, right after Ruvain. What's the connection? Why is Ruvain Yehuda after Ruvain? So Rashi brings that who caused Reuven to be Moda, that was Yehuda. That's why Rashi says Yehuda's next to Reuven. They were both Moda about the bad thing they did. That Yehuda, the story with Tamar, and Reuven, the story with mixing up the bilbul of his father's bed, mixing up the bed, whatever that chait was. So that's why they're next to each other. And like Rashi brings the Chazal, who caused Reuven to be Moda? Yehuda. So Yehuda said, Tzadka Mimeni, that he admitted by the story of Tamar. So Reuven also was Moda that he was wrong about mixing up his father's bed. So the Chizkuni asks here a very basic question. It's just not true. Reuven, it says that Reuven was Moda beforehand, or at least Reuven knew he was wrong beforehand, because we said Reuven was not there by the original Mechira of Yosef. Not the original. Reuven was not there by the Mechira of Yosef when they took him out of the pit and sold him. Reuven wasn't there. Where was he? So Rashi says he was Osik Basako Vitaniso. He was busy repenting for having mixed up his father's bed, whatever again that Avera was. So he seems to have been Moda before Yehuda, before the story of Tamar. So what does Rashi mean? What does the Chazal say? What did the Chazal mean, who say that Yehuda caused Reuven to admit? So the Chizkuni says that Reuven, maybe it's obvious, that Reuven never publicly admitted. He had privately known that he was wrong and been moda personally and done tshuva, but he had never publicly admitted his sin. And then after Yehuda said, Tzadka Mimeni, so then Reuven said, you know what, I also did an Avera. I also messed up my father's beds. I did the bilbul of the beds of my father. So he publicly admitted at that time. So here's what's fascinating about this to me. There is, by a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru, it is not a positive to publicly admit, generally speaking. If someone is privately, I don't know what, each treif, there is no big milah to go stand up and show and say, I'd like everyone to know I eat treif. No. You're supposed to be mechasep shav. You're supposed to hide averus like that. If you have an aver ben adam lachavero, then you're supposed to let everyone know. If you spoke, said something terrible about someone, so you get up publicly and say, I was wrong, that's appropriate, ben adam lachavero. Ben adam lamakam, generally speaking, you do not want to publicize. So that's what Chazal tell us. So if so, why is this such a big maila, what Reuven did? Isn't the sin of mixing up his father's friend, his father's bed, a beinatam lamakom? So again, maybe again this is obvious, but there are two possibilities of what Reuven did. So some mefarshim understand that Reuven, you know, the pasuk says vayishkav is bila, right? The pasuk says that he did an avera, the real avera, and not just mixing up the beds, that he was with Bilha. So Chazal in the Gemara tell us, no, that's not what it means, not true. Whoever says Reuven chata eino alatoa, that's not correct. He didn't actually, wasn't actually with Bilha. Okay, so if, but there are people who take it literally, different mefarshim for different things. If you were to take it literally, it would be, you would think, mostly a bein adam la-makom kind of avera, I would have thought anyway. Maybe even that's bein adam la-chavera because it was Yaakov's wife. However, certainly, if it was just mixing up the beds, that was purely for the covet of his mother, then that's 100% mein adam l'chavero, in which case it's certainly appropriate to publicize it. So, again, fits with the, this chizkuni is fitting well with what Chazal tell us, that it was just an avera in the, he did it for the covet of his mother, but that's all, it was a mein adam l'chavero, avera of putting the bed where it shouldn't be, and not anything worse. Again, even if it was, even if it had been, there's also a minadam l'chavero aspect in Eishes Chavero. But, okay, be that as may, this is clearly viewed as a minadam l'chavero thing, and therefore it was appropriate that Reuven admit publicly what he did. Okay, we're going to get back to this Reuven. Actually, let's get back to it right now. It says, Yechi Reuven. The Pasuk says, Yechi Reuven v'al yamos v'hi... How's it going? So the Chizkuni says, continuing along this theme, that Reuven needed a special bracha to live. Why? Because he did something against Kibarav. So, right, he's mixed up the father's bed. That's a lack of Kibarav. Also, that mitzvah itself is unclear if it's bein adam l'chavero, bein adam l'makom. Anyway, he did it was a lack of Kibarav. Therefore, why does he need a bracha to live? Because someone who does keep it aveim, it says, l'man yarichun yamecha, so you will live a long life. Now again, Chazal tell us that means olam haba, but this, because Kuni is bringing this mefarshim that sounds like it's taking it literally, that it'll bring long life. So someone who doesn't do keep it aveim, then it would be, Chas v'shalom, the opposite. So he needed a special bracha of Yechi Reuven, al yamos. And furthermore, Vizos le Yehuda. Yehuda needed the same bracha. Why? Because Yehuda also did a lack of kibud aveim by dipping Yosef's coat in the blood and showing it to his father as if he was dead. That was also a lack of kibud aveim. He caused his father untold tsar. And so therefore, he also needed this bracha of living because he had the same issue. Okay, next. Next pasuk is Vilalevi Amar. Tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. So... who is that referring to? Pashup Shad is, as the Chizkuni says, talking about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, where is the Urim V'tumim? So the Levi Amar seems to be talking not just Levi and not just even Kohanim, but a very special type of Kohen, the Kohen Gadol. So he wears your Urim V'tumim. And so this again, we're going to go with this Pshat, the Chizkuni goes with. This is not, certainly not everybody, but... Rashi, for example, does not seem to be going like this. But anyway, the Chizkuni says it's talking specifically about the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the next pasuk makes perfect sense. Who does not recognize his father and mother. What does that mean? So the Chizkuni explains that when there is a levaya of a someone, a Kohen can't go, because a Kohen can't be metame lemes. Unless it's the Kohen's immediate relative, like a mother or father or sister or brother, that kind of thing, then a Kohen can be Metami Lamesi, can be in the same room as a dead guy, if it's his one of his seven relatives. However, the exception to this is the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol cannot be Metami Lamesim, even for a father or mother. Just can't go. He's not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. So, it's as if he doesn't know that they're his father and his mother. So that's how Merla Vivli Mori Lo Risiv Es Achav Lo Yikir Ves Banav Lo Yada. Because it's as if he doesn't know them, because he's pretending like he doesn't know them, so to speak. He's the Levi is going by, he's not taking part. So that's what it means, that he doesn't know them. Why? Because bris chayin tzaru, because Hashem said there's a bris with the Kohanim, they're not allowed to, with the Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, says the Chizkuni, the next pasuk, Yoru Mishpatach Yaakov. That's why the Kohanim can be poskim, that they were the Yoru Mishpatach, they were the ones who paskined for Klal Yisrael. And why is that? Because you see that they don't care about nepotism, they don't care about things like that. They're, you know, even against their family, whatever they have to do, they do the right thing, so it's right for them to be poskim. You know, that other pshat, if it's just Levi, is talking about general Levi, that they didn't recognize the mother-father, means because during the Chet Egel, they had to kill relatives of theirs who were not Levim, because nobody from Levi did the Chet Egel, but there were Yisraelim who they were related to closely, who did the Chet Egel, and they had to kill them. So you see, anyway, that they're not easily bribed or whatever, so that's why they're right to be judges. Okay. Now we have the pasuk, why is Binyamin next? So Binyamin comes after Levi, because Levi is the Beis HaMikdash, associated with the Beis HaMikdash. Binyamin's chelik was the Beis HaMikdash was in Binyamin, part of it. And then we have Yosef. Now you're going to like this. Pasuk Gimel says, the Yosef Amar Mevareches Hashem Arzo. Okay, Yosef gets a bracha that his land is blessed. Why does he get that specific bracha of land being blessed? Listen to this. Because by Adam HaRishon, it says, because you listened to your wife, remember Adam listened to his wife and ate from the Eitz Hadas, because you listened to your wife, Arura HaAdama Bavurecha, or maybe I should say to his wife is not the point, since you listened to the woman, right, it's his wife, but he listened to woman, so therefore, and for bad, so because of that, the land was cursed forever. What did Yosef not do? He did not listen to the woman. When a lady came to him with Avera, he did not listen, or they were trying to convince him to do Avera, he did not listen. And therefore, because of that, therefore his land is blessed, the opposite, that's the whatever. That's the inverse of that. It's a very nice shot. Then we talk about Yisachar and Zvulun. And by Zvulun it says, Usfunei Tmunei Chol. That's in Pasuk Yutes. What do those words mean, Usfunei Tmunei Chol? So Zvulun lived by the ports. So Rashi says it means that they would find things hidden in the sea, like, you know, I don't know what, pearls, whatever. They would find things that are in the sea. Whatever, things you find in the sea, precious things you can find in the sea. The Chizkuni, I think, is maybe a little more specific, that if you're near a port, so ships sink near ports, because, you know, whatever, the ship runs aground and whatever. So though boats, there are a lot of boats there, and some sink, in which case you're going to find buried treasure, because, you know, as the water recedes, at different times during the day, you can go farther out, and you can pick up hidden in the seabed, buried treasures. So that's the bracha to Zvulun, that he'll pick up some buried treasures too, which is just interesting. Okay, now just skipping to Usher. This is also fascinating. It says, Baruch mi banim asher rehi ritu yachav. Putting these two together, what the Chizkuni says, and these two pshatim, you'll see, is a little, maybe not so easy, but they're very interesting. So Baruch mi banim asher means, Chizkuni says that Usher had a lot of kids, like the words say. In fact, nobody had as much of a population growth as Usher did. In the first counting, there were 41,500 of him. Second time, 53,400. So he had a huge jump. So he was Baruch Mibanim Asher. Okay, now this next pshat is fascinating, but I don't know how it jives exactly with the first one that we just said. What is Yehi Ritzo Yachav? So the Chizkuni brings that after what happened with Reuven when he mixed up his father's bed, so Usher is the one who came and told Yaakov about what Reuven did. So the brothers were not happy. The brothers put him in Cherem for doing that. That you're saying Lashon Hara on our older brother, so they put Usher in Cherem. Now Cherem, real Cherem, Nidui, is similar to the person in Cherem needs to act like they're in Avelos, right? That's the halacha. Someone who's in Nidui has to act like they're in Avelos. It's the same Dine Avelos, like Shiva. So there's no, they can't be with their wives, no Tashmish Shemitahs, no wearing shoes. There's no anointing themselves. So Usher was in Cherem by the brothers. And Moshe took him out, says the Chizkuni. Moshe said he should be Yehi Ritzu Yechav, he should be Merutza to his brothers, that he shouldn't be in a Cherem anymore. Okay, well, what happens when you get out of Cherem? So, follow the rest of the Pasuk. It says, Baruch mi b'nai me'asher. So someone who's in Nidoy is cursed, or he is Baruch. And I mean, I don't think this goes with the first Pshat, as you'll see, but Baruch mi b'nai me'asher, first of all, he's Baruch. He's blessed. He's not cursed anymore. And since he's Aser B'tash Meshamita, he's Baruch Mibonim, that he should have children, since he's not Aser B'tash Meshamita over there anymore. And then, since they used to be have to stay far away from him and not talk to him, he should be Ritzui Achav. And then, because he's Aser in anointing himself and Sicha and putting and shmiring himself, it says, Tovil Bashem and Raglo. They should put oil on himself. And since he wasn't able to wear shoes, it says, Barzel and Achoshes min alecha. He should have this type of metal shoes. Whatever it is, that's the point. That it's going through all the things that a person would be in Avelis or in Cherem. So now he can have shoes. Now he can anoint himself. Now he's Merutza. Now he could be Mutter B'tash Meshamita and have kids. And he's Baruch and not Ur. Okay. Again, why I said the first shot to say he had a huge population growth from count one, count two. So while here we're at the end, it seems like they had plenty of kids. So I don't know what it means, but it could be it doesn't go together in a separate pshatim. Okay, then we have at the very, very end, so they bury Moshe. And lo yada ish es kvuraso ad hayom hazeh. So the Chizkuni mentions that it tells you all kinds of details about where to find him. It says veikvuraso bagai. And in Moab, next to Beis Porin, still nobody's going to find him. Now, why is this important? Now, here's the interesting part. Why is it important that nobody knows? So, what would you think? You'd probably guess some of them. First of all, so he brings so that people shouldn't be Sho'ali Mason, people who want to go to make an Avodah Zarah out of a dead person or use them for a Tumah to ask them questions. So that's one reason. Another reason you probably did not think of is so that no one should be buried next to him because who's chash enough to be buried next to Moshe Rabbeinu? So this way, no one's buried next to him. That's what he brings. Okay. Then it says that Bnei Yisrael cried for him. Vayivku Bnei Yisrael es Moshe shloshim yom. So the Chizkuni brings by Aaron, it says, here it says by Pasek Chaz, Vayivku Bnei Yisrael. By Aaron, it says, Kol Beis Yisrael. Why is that? So maybe you'd be thinking what it says that Aaron was Rodev Shalom and all that, so even the women cried. Okay, well, the Chizkuni says, because when Aaron died, Moshe was crying. And who would see Moshe crying and not start crying themselves? If Moshe's upset, he's the heart of the whole Jewish people, so everybody started crying. But when he died, so there wasn't someone there they recognized as the heart of the whole Jewish people, so it wasn't as many people crying. So just Bnei Yisrael, not the whole Beis Yisrael. That's what he says. Okay, then we have the last Pasuk, Vlokam. Well, second to last. Vlokam, third to last. Anyway, Pasuk Yud. It says, Vlokam, Navi od bi Yisrael ke Moshe. So there was never another Navi like Moshe. So we know. I think most of us are familiar, one drasha that says, Be Israel, O come, Avab Umos come, that there was no Navi as great as Moshe, but amongst the Goyim there was, and who's that? Bilam. Okay, well, the Chizkuni says it maybe the more Pashat way, without the Drasha, that no Navi ever came like this in Yisrael, and by the Goyim, it's Ogaret. We don't need to say it, of course, no one came by the Akum like that. As it says, of course, there was no Navi by the Goyim like that. Okay, so those are two. Then we have Asher Yado Hashem Panim Al Panim. So there was never a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu that Asher Yado Hashem Panim Al Panim. So the Chizkuni points out it's Hashem knew him Panim Al Panim. Hashem knew Moshe Panim Al Panim. Spoke to him in a way of Panim Al Panim, but Moshe didn't know Hashem Panim Al Panim. Because Lo Yirani Adam B'chai, you can't see Hashem and live. It said Moshe saw the back of the tefillin or whatever. But to see Hashem Panim Al Panim, whatever that means, Moshe didn't see Hashem Panim Al Panim. Hashem spoke to Moshe Panim Al Panim. Okay, that's what he says. And then the last thing, the very last pasuk, I just thought it was interesting, it says, L'chol hayad ha-chazaka, this is the last pasuk in the Torah. L'chol hayad ha-chazaka, l'chol ha-mora ha-gadol, asher asa Moshe le'inei Yisrael. So what do you think mora ha-gadol means? So I would have thought the great awesomeness, like mora is in awe, which I think Rashi meant when Rashi says, nisim migvurish ha-bimidbar ha-gadol va-nora. If you look at Unkelus and the Chizkuni says the same thing, it means the sight, the great sights, like seeing, l'chol hamor ha-gadol, which is the great sight. You see, Unkelus says, l'chol chelzvan ha-rabba, means the great sight, that's the same thing. Chizkuni says, l'shon mara, it was not the great awesomeness, but the great sight that they saw. Okay, that's it.